It's always a privilege to be invited back to where you have worked, where you've been, and to be with people that you know and that you love. And I really love you people, and you know that. Appreciate Brother Merlin and Walt so much, and for the encouragement they gave me while I was here. And the church here seems to be going along so well, and it sure does look good. I enjoyed being with Brother Dan Walker and his wife Michelle in Salem about a year ago, and I'm looking forward to being with them this week. And I feel that you're blessed to have them with you. Pauline will be here Tuesday. Many of you have asked about her. But it had been a year since she had seen Paula. And those of you who are mothers know that to be away from a daughter for a year is a long, long time. And so I insisted that she stay with Paula a little extra time, and then she'll come on out next Tuesday and be with us, the Lord willing, the rest of the meeting. As I look out over the audience, I am happy to see so many new faces that I hadn't ever met before. And as I look out over the audience, I'm a little sad because there's some that have passed on and are not here. But we know that someday we can be with them again. And I was sorry to hear about Sister Coleman. I had the privilege of baptizing her, and I didn't realize that, you know, she had passed on until the announcement was made. But we're so thankful that we do have the hope of everlasting life, of being together again with those who have lived and who died in Christ. It's quite a privilege to have our son Tim here today. He'll leave about 1:30 this afternoon, but it's really good to have him in the audience too. I appreciated what Dan said a while ago about the gospel meeting. We're here to preach Christ. We're here to honor, to glorify Him. And that's the first, second, and last verse of this whole effort that we're going to put forth. We hope that when the meeting is over, you will say, I love the Lord more than I did, and I want to praise Him more than I praised Him before. If that is the feeling of your heart, then we have accomplished what we hope to accomplish. In the 15th chapter of the book of Luke, we have a very familiar parable that will be the basis for our lesson today. There are several parables in the book of Luke that deal with how happy the Lord is when someone repents and returns and does the will of the Lord. The first parable that he gives us in the 15th chapter of Luke talks about one who had lost their sheep, had lost his sheep. In verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing, and when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Every shepherd could understand that. He could relate to that. When one sheep is lost, a shepherd is disturbed about it. And he goes and he finds that sheep that's lost, and when he finds that sheep, he rejoices. Now, Jesus said in heaven, when one sinner repents, there's a lot of rejoicing that takes place. I'm sure there's a lot more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over a shepherd or over a sheep that is found, and the rejoicing that's in the heart of the shepherd. Then he gives another parable. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, I'm sure that you can understand that a woman who had 10 pieces of silver, as high as silver is today, she certainly wouldn't want to lose any piece of her silver at all, coin or otherwise. But if she finds it, she's going to rejoice. But now Jesus uses that illustration to let us know that in heaven, though, there is rejoicing. When one sinner repents, when that which is lost is found, God rejoices. But then there's the parable of the prodigal son. He was a young man that went away from home, and he came back home, and that father rejoiced because the son returned home. Now, a father can relate to that. Any father who loses his son and who goes away, as this young man went away and spent all in riotous living, you can understand just how happy a father would be. Here's my boy. He's come back home. And I love him. And most of us love our children. And that's the normal thing to do. That's a natural thing. But Jesus said, I want you to know, folks, that when one sinner repents, God the Father is as happy as the Father was. God is just as happy when one sinner repents as the woman was. God is just as happy as the shepherd who found his sheep. Now, this boy did a lot of bad things. But you know what? I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I'm going to talk about the good side of the prodigal son. It's kind of a secondary lesson. I don't think it's the primary lesson of the parable, but I am going to talk about the better side of that prodigal son. All of my life, I've always pretty well talked about him, and I want you to know, though, I don't approve of an evil thing he did. I'm not trying to justify any of his immoral conduct, but I do believe there was a better side to this boy. And I want you to look at it. First of all, he decided to get out on his own. He wanted to leave. What's wrong with that? When a young man reaches an age that says, Daddy, I want to bear my own burdens. And you know, in Genesis 2:24, it says that a young man should leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. What's wrong with that? That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to cut the strings. Just tell me really what's wrong with a boy leaving home and accepting that responsibility and saying, I want to be on my own, Daddy. And you know, I'm afraid sometimes that people have the attitude that when a son reaches 19, 20 years old, if he leaves home, oh, I've failed. Don't feel that way. And if the boy said, Daddy, I want to live in my own apartment. Or the young lady says, I'd like to have my own apartment. The first thing pops to your mind is some immoral conduct is going to go on over there. Not necessarily. I know a lot of good young men and fine young ladies who have their own apartments. And I'll tell you what, if they'd be immoral in their own apartment, they're just as immoral staying in your house. They'll be just as immoral. Just because you've got them at home, that doesn't mean they're not going to be immoral in their conduct. And I tell you, I've known many young people. I don't blame them for leaving home. I really don't. Because sometimes their daddies and mamas treat them like 10-year-olds. And when a boy reaches 19 and 20 and 21 years old, he wants to be treated like an adult. And so if a boy does leave home, there's nothing wrong with it. I kind of admire a boy or girl that has enough spunk to think, I can make it on my own, Daddy. And that seems to be the attitude, or seemed to have been the attitude of this young man. I'm ready to leave now. I'm ready to get out on my own. Now, it's not a sin to stay at home. I believe it's all right. In fact, I wanted ours to stay home just as long as they would, but I felt like I wanted to treat them like adults after they reached a certain age, because they were. There's another commendable thing about this young man. He had honor for his father. I know he did, because he came to his father and he said, Father, in Luke the 15th chapter, he came and said in verse 12, he said to his father, Father. It just seems to me that in that particular address, there's respect, there's honor. And you know one of the reasons I believe this young man had respect for his father? After he came home, his father seemed to have so much respect for him. And we're living in a day where people many times don't respect their parents like they ought to. But I don't read anything in this parable that indicated that he hated his father. He didn't hate him. He just said, Father, I've decided I want to leave. He didn't say, now I'm leaving because I don't care anything about you anymore. I've lost my respect for you. He didn't say that. He just said, Father. You know, in Ephesians 6, verse 1, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Honoring your parents, respecting your parents, is something that every one of us should do until our parents draw their last breath. I don't believe that just means to honor them while you're living with them. In fact, I don't know but what that has more reference to honoring them after you're not living with them. There are going to be a lot of people in torment because they haven't honored their fathers and their mothers. In 1 Timothy 5, the Apostle Paul said, if a man won't provide for his own, especially for those of his own house, his own family, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And I know where infidels are going. And you know a man that won't take care of his own, he certainly denied the faith. Well, this boy honored his father. I tell you another thing about him. I believe he was honest. I believe the boy was an honest fellow. You know why? Well, he said, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He said, he didn't say, I want more than I deserve. I want my brother's part. No, he said, you just give me the portion that falleth to me. All he wanted was his part. That's all. And that's wonderful. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with him leaving home? Nothing. Anything wrong with him saying to his father, Father, and showing respect for his father? Nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's right. Now, I want to say again, I don't approve of the things he did over there in that far country. But I'm telling you one thing for sure. I respect that young man because he said, all I want is what's mine. I want my part. And he got his part, and the other boy did too, at the same time. They both got their parts. And that was honest. Honesty is something that we know that's taught throughout the scriptures. In Romans 12, 17, Paul says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. We're living in an age where a lot of people are not honest. But there's nothing in this parable that indicates to me that this boy was dishonest. He was honest as he could be. And that's a commendable trait. Now, I'll tell you another thing about him. He was calm. Calm. Deliberate. He just, let me read it just exactly like it says it here. It says, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. But now, he just calmly left home. He didn't leave in a huff. He didn't walk out and slam the door and say, I don't want to ever see you again, Dad. I don't care anything about being around here anymore. He wasn't riotous in that. In other words, he didn't leave fussing and feuding. That's not the way he left home. He left home calmly. Anything wrong with that? No, that's the way you ought to leave home if you're going to leave home. Leave home calmly, just like he did. And there's going to come a time in the lives of some of you young people that you're going to leave home. And you ought to leave just like this boy did, just as calm as he did. You know, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 4:31 that we're not to be bitter. And I don't think this boy was. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another. Seemed like the father was kind to the boy. Father and the son was kind to the father. That's commendable, isn't it? I'll tell you another thing I like about this boy after he lost all his money. And he lost it in the wrong way. I know that. Do you know what he did? He got a job. Yeah, he got a job. He got him a job after he spent all of his money and got the lowest, stinkingest job you could get. Feeding swine. I grew up in a little country town, and I don't know why Daddy always wanted to have a bunch of old stinking pigs around, but he had hogs all the time. And I had to feed those things. And that's about the stinkingest job I've ever done in my life. And that's the kind of job this boy had. There was a famine in this land, but at least he didn't go back and say, Daddy, I've run out of money. I've run out of money. I need some more money. He didn't do that. He didn't go around stealing. He could have done that. He could have gone around, knocked somebody in the head and stolen from them, but he didn't do that. Or he could have just said, well, I'm going to be a bum. I'm going to bum off everybody I can bum off of. No, he didn't do that. That wouldn't have been right. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more. He knew, I'm sure, that it's wrong to steal. And if a man won't work, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if he won't work, neither should he eat. And I tell you, there's nothing any more noble than a young man or young lady that decides, I'm going to go to work. I'm afraid there are a lot of people that just flat don't want to work. But he said, I'm going to get a job, and even if it means feeding swine. And I tell you what, to a Jew, that's about the lowest job you could have gotten, to be a swine feeder. But I admire him because he went to work, you see. But I'll tell you another reason I admire that boy. He came to himself. He was humble. When he got out there in that pig pen and started feeding the swine, he would have filled his belly with a husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. Nobody. But then in verse 17, when he came to himself, he came to himself. He realized, I am a sinner and I am wrong. What I have done. Now, I don't believe that leaving home was wrong. And I don't believe that honoring his father was wrong. But I believe that what he did after he got over in that far country, when he spent all of his money in riotous living, that was wrong. As wrong as it could be. But you know what? He came to himself. He saw himself, I'm sure, like he had never seen himself before. My, what have I done? There are hired servants in my father's house that are better off than I am. And here I am over in this pig pen, feeding the swine. I think that's pretty good. When a fellow realizes he's wrong. And a lot of people never do realize they're wrong about much anything. And I think that's probably one of the greatest weaknesses a man could have, is when he won't admit his weaknesses. When he won't admit that I'm wrong about this thing. I've sinned. How foolish I've been. I admire. And I tell you, I admire anybody today that when they have gone off into what they finally realize, my, what am I doing over here? And when he finally wakes up and says, man, I'm in a lost condition. And I'm going to go back and apologize to everybody I've hurt. Isn't that wonderful? Sure it is. Humble. It takes humility to do that. I don't think, and that's another trait you might say, that this man had humility about him, enough humility to see himself exactly as others saw him and as God saw him. But you know another reason I admire him? He made a vow and he kept it. He made a vow. He made a promise. And here's his vow. I will arise. I'll go to my father. And I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Now this is a parable, I know. But Jesus gave a parable that could have happened. It could have happened. I tell you why. This has happened many a time. Many a time. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And that's all he had to say. He didn't finish the rest of it. Just let me be a hired servant. The father wouldn't let him finish that. But you know, he kept the vow. He made a vow and he said, this is what I'm going to do. And I intend to do it. You know, a lot of times people make vows and they make promises and they say, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they don't keep them. But you can't say that about this boy. This boy made a vow and he kept it. And I'll tell you, young people, if you make a promise to the Lord that you're going to serve him, keep it. Keep it. If you make a vow of any kind in marriage, keep it. Keep your vow. Or don't make the vow. It's bad enough to make the vow and not keep it. That didn't come out the way I wanted to. It's bad enough to make the vow and not keep it. I'm still not too sure that's right. But you know what I mean. You know me well enough that I sometimes have a little problem. But he made a vow, and he kept his vow. He kept his promise. Here's what I will do. And he did it. And I'll tell you, last of all, he cut off all of his relationships with his former wicked associates. I don't read where he ever did. Of course, nothing is said about this afterwards, but when he came back, as far as I know, he never did want to go back into the muck and the mire he'd been in over that far country. I'm sure he found out right quick, those people are not my friends. When I had money, every one of them wanted to be my friends, but after I got in the hard shape, well, then nobody wanted to help me anymore. They're not my friends. And my real friends are over here in my father's house, in other words, in the love of my father. And he broke his relationship. In other words, he separated himself from all of his former wicked associates. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil associations corrupt good morals. And I'll tell you, when you break your relationship with the world and come to God, you have separated yourself from the world. And you're in a relationship in God's family then. And he can call you his son and you can call him your father. 2 Corinthians 6, Paul said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Be separate. So this young man has some pretty good traits, doesn't he? There's several there. He decided to get out on his own. He decided that I'm going to leave and I'll be on my own. And so he came to his father and said, Father, I just want what's mine. Just give me my portion. And he did it calmly. But then after he spent it all, he got his own job. But then he came to himself. Made a vow, kept the vow, came back home, cut himself away from that former life, that former association. I see a secondary lesson in this as I close. Man has drifted away from God. Many in this audience probably have. At one time, you were closer to God than you are, but you decided, I think I'll get on my own. And you didn't lose your respect for God or your honor for God. You still honored him. But you went out. Now, you've gone out there in the world, and now just what have you found out there? Really? What do you find out there in the world that's so wonderful? You really, after a while, you begin to say, man, it isn't worth all that. I don't want that. Well, why not come to yourself today? Come to yourself and just admit, like this young man did, I've been wrong, I have sinned, and I'm going to arise, and I'm going to do the will of God today. You're in the audience, and you're not a child of God, you haven't obeyed the gospel, everything's in readiness for you to be baptized today. Believe in Christ, be penitent, confess his name, be baptized today. If you're a child of God and you've wandered away and need to come back home, why don't you come back? All together, we stand and sing the song.